Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hello and welcome, Army fans, back for week one, your first game day show of the season. A lot of anticipation, guys. How are we feeling?
Good, man. Super excited. Got on here, you know, swam 2 miles today just to get fired up for this thing. And we got a crew on here today. Got Mike Heat joining us for the very first time today. Fired up, man. There's a lot to be excited about.
Mike, how are you?
Good. I'm excited as well. Football is finally here.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll be hosting today. My name is James at Brigade Review out of South Texas. Just talked to Dan in Coastal Connecticut, and Mike is in the Hudson River Valley. Before we get started, Dan, can you take us through our first commercial?
I will. Friends, we are sponsored by Jocelyn Bradley. She is a realtor in the Fort Bragg area, and if you are PCSing, that is, permanently changing your station to the Fort Bragg area, have we got the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line, West Point class of 2010. She served as a Army logistics officer where she honed her passion for impacting lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings that same commitment to helping you find your dream home. She provides exceptional personalized service to ensure a seamless home buying or home selling experience tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, she has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that spans the country and is ready to support you wherever the Army or just regular life takes you. So if you're relocating, don't take a chance and pick some fool that just wants to make a buck off you, right? Go to askforfootball.com, click on Jocelyn's, her little business card on her website, you know, ask her for a recommendation, tell her you need to buy a house in Fort Bragg if you're moving to Fort Bragg. And she is supporting us here on Ask for Football, and we're trying to introduce you to the very person that you need to meet if you need a new home. So reach out today and help her make your move effortless.
Thanks, Dan. All right. So sad news if you hadn't heard. Our first official photographer at Ask for Football has moved on to greener pastures. Lynn has left for Texas for some great opportunities there, but she left us in good hands. She brought on our new Ask for Football photographer, Mike. Welcome aboard, and Dan's got he's going to run us through some questions so you can get to know the Ask for Football fan base.
Yeah. Mike, we are super happy to have you here. As I told you privately, you know, I love your gallery that you shot for the bowl game. I was really in love with it. So tell us a little bit about yourself, like, you know, school, family.
Thank you for the compliment. I'm not sure how many people actually get to see my photo. So when the word gets out and people see it, I'm very flattered. Thank you.
Good. So tell us about yourself. Like, what do you do? How'd you get into photography? You know, name, rank, serial number.
Well, the truth is, I think back in high school, I would take photography courses. I liked to shoot back then. But then I guess it scared me to go into photography and not have a steady job. So I did something much safer, and I joined the NYPD. So that's what I did for the last 20 years. I've been retired for about 5 years now. And you know, I got reintroduced into shooting again because my wife is also a photographer. We're high school sweethearts from the Bronx.
Wow!
And, well, she's from Manhattan. You know, she says I'm from the Bronx, and but we met in a Bronx high school. And you know, using her equipment, I just started doing wildlife photography as a hobby, and that led to sports photography, and that led to a connection with the Mid-Hudson News, where I cover high school sports now.
Nice. Very nice. So, yeah, I was going to ask you, where all do you work and shoot? I know I've seen some of your Mid-Hudson stuff, but on your website, it looks like you shoot quite a bit of sports.
Well, you know, I got introduced to West Point. Well, if I go way back to how I got introduced to West Point, I'm also a former Army reservist.
Okay.
And I had never heard of West Point, to be honest with you. Growing up in a city, I wasn't interested in college sports because we have so many pro teams. Absolutely. And it wasn't until I went away to basic training in Alabama and realized how important college football were to the people there. And it was kind of shocking because growing up, you know, as a kid, starter jackets is basically in the hats is what got like the college name brand out to us. And it wasn't until I was a reservist, I was in an MP unit, and we had to do traffic detail at West Point. And oh, up nice. To then, I didn't know what a tailgate was. I didn't know what West Point football was. And once I got that little taste of West Point, I fell in love and became a fan since then.
So how long have you been following the Army team, and how long have you been shooting the Army team?
Well, I've been following the Army team since I was probably in my early 20s. Okay. You know, it's basically the only football team I really root for. I watch college football, but usually I'm rooting against people. So this year my target will be rooting against LSU.
Okay. that's a good choice.
How many pros they have on their team, which I'm not crazy about the way college sports is going. But seriously, you know, from shooting to high school, it's fantastic. But when you go to an environment like West Point with the stadiums and Crystal Arena, you could take your photography to another level. The lighting is so much better. And then, you know, and people seem to take your work a little bit more seriously than high school, you know. But high school is my passion. But I did get introduced to West Point through Sal Internato of Black Knight Nation. He was the first one. He got in contact with me, and I got access to a West Point game. It was a championship game against Tulane. It was like -30 degrees. So that was my first time on a Division I field was that game. And it was great. And, you know, sometimes you go into these situations where you question your own work. You wonder if you're up to the level of other, you know, photographers. But I've been lucky enough to bump into people like Lynn Fern, who when I was getting to sports, I would look at her work and compare my work to hers, not knowing who she was. And I met her at an Army practice. Sure. And only because some high school games we've shot, I would see her work. And I'm like, she's at the same game I am at. I don't know who she is. And I found her at a practice, and she was fantastic. And she's been a friend and mentor since then. And, you know, I filled in, you know, for her many times. And, you know, there's always a little extra pressure to say, hey, I have to live up to Lynn, or even try, if possible, to surpass. she's talented, you know, and it's a friendly competition. She's fantastic. But, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's fine. Finish.
You know, and, you know, so from there, I was covering an Army Pro Day. And on that day, Lynn Fern was there shooting. And I could tell by the position where she was setting up that her shots were going to be better than mine. Just from my inexperience, she knew where to set up, where to go. The lighting was perfect for her. And I switched to video that day. And I took videos of the guys working out. Lucas Scott, and I interviewed them after the game. And, you know, Lucas Scott was fantastic. That video made it to the Ravens website. You know, if you Google Lucas Scott Ravens, my video perhaps would show up. And from there, that's when Mid-Hudson News said, hey, if you could interview and, you know, take pictures and video, we would love to hire you. So, you know, so I owe a lot to Lynn Fern and, you know, Sal for getting me that access, and you know, and Lucas Scott. I'm wearing Lucas's Scott sweatshirt today, so he has his own line. So thank you, Lucas. And you know, everywhere I go, I just meet more people, and people are so friendly. Eric's, I'm gonna kill his last name, Shaspinski, who was a former communications director for Army. He's now at Cincinnati Bearcats. He would take time with me on the sideline of practices and basically tell me what the business is like on his end and how to deal with communications from different college programs and, you know, what to charge, how to approach them, how to conduct yourself. And, you know, he didn't have to do that, but he was such a great guy. Well, not he was, he is.
Yeah,
he's just at a different location now. So that's really what's, you know, and now I work for different programs, and a lot of times I'm hired by away teams at West Point, where I'm not working for West Point, I'm working for the other team to take photos for them, you know. So
interesting.
That's kind of my business.
Good for you, man. What an interesting business to take away shots when the teams are at Army. So what do you do when you're not photographing sports events?
Oh, geez. Gosh. Well, you know what? I have a lot more time now that I'm retired. Okay. And both kids are – I have two kids. My oldest is Ethan. He's 21. Okay. St. John's University. And my daughter is at New Paltz. So they don't really have much time for me anymore. You know, I'm not the Uber driver anymore. They have licenses. Yeah. So, hey, it's covering sports, watching sports, and I enjoy wildlife and hiking and things like that.
Well, you're in the right place. And like I said, you know, thank you very much for coming on. We're really looking forward to working with you. I know I gotta get back to you with some interview folks and targets and questions for tomorrow. So that's a tease for those of you listening to this show for later in the week. And yeah, man, thanks. So hang out and let's roll on with the show, because like I said, there is kind of a lot today.
Sounds great.
All right, we are going to roll quickly through the fourth quarter preview. We're going to go through the last three games of the season, and we'll give you a quick preview, talk about those things, and then get into Bryant. So first game on the docket today is East Carolina. Went 9-4 last year, 6-2 in the American. They lost that quarterback, Caden Hauser, that Army fans remember from last year. They lost a couple of O-linemen and a D-lineman and their most effective safety. They brought in a new offensive coordinator, Jordan Davis. If you'll remember, they promoted a coordinator to head coach last year, immediately, or it was 2 years ago, immediately after the Army game.
Yep.
They bring in a new offensive coordinator, and quarterback Mitch Griffiths will start for the season. He played for Wake Forest a while back and actually came in relief of Sam Hartman in the blowout Wake Forest Army game in 2023. So he has played Army before. Thoughts, Sam?
Well, let's just point out that was back in 2020. So Mitch Griffiths is on, 30-year-old watch. he's going to be playing his 10th year of college football almost. ECU is always good against the run. If they actually get that offense to perform, you didn't note it, but they hired North Texas offensive coordinator Jordan Davis to be their new OC. So I happen to be a believer in North Texas's offense, or at least what they were running last year. So if they get ECU's offense to perform the way that they do with the amount of talent that they have, then they could win the conference. I'm not saying that they will, but they could.
If you had to set a line on Mitch Griffiths' age, what would it be?
27.
You're going to be shocked.
Okay, I am. Prepare to be shocked.
24.
That's still pretty old for a college.
Oh, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Yeah, 22, 23 is about where I limit out. But yeah, no, okay. He's younger than some of the crazies we've seen.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, my daughter has been out of college for a year and will be going to Paraguay with the Peace Corps later this month, and she is about to turn 23. So, yeah.
Fair enough. He did not play in 2024, so this will be his fifth full season in his sixth year of college football.
I hope he's got that degree in brain surgery. That's all I'm saying.
Actually, excuse me, it'll be his sixth season because he played at Texas Tech last year. So anyway, all right, let's move on to Rice. They went 5-8 last year, 2-6 in the American. Scott Abel is in his second year as the head coach. They're running a sort of a gun option, a little bit more throwing, dubbed the third option in the American last year. Although, as Trey Lamb would say, neither Rice nor Navy is the same way you prepare for Army nowadays. So I don't know how much truth there is to that. And they return a lot of their offensive line and running backs, but they have not named a quarterback yet. And they have to rebuild their defense. They did better last year in the American than they did in their first couple of years. They seem to be slowly turning things around at Rice. One of the trends in the American over the last few years is that these lower level programs have made phenomenal head coaching hires, and they seem to be turning things around. I'm thinking Temple, I'm thinking Tulsa, and I'm thinking Rice. A lot of these programs that maybe weren't towards the top of the standings are slowly working their way up because they get these great hires in because the American is a destination spot for head coaching. Danny, any thoughts on Rice?
I'm not a believer in Rice. Sorry. And I'm not arguing that Scott Abel is not a good coach because how the hell would I know? But they went 2-6 in the American last year. They got what I have to consider a pretty lucky win against UConn that I personally found extremely frustrating as a Connecticut person. But yeah, I don't. Well, listen, we'll see. I'm not saying that they're going to be a bad team. Maybe they'll be a great team, but I'll be surprised. They got to prove it to me.
I wonder. Go ahead.
I was just going to kick it over. Mike, got any thoughts on we've been talking at you here for a few minutes.
I just hope they wear nice uniforms that day so I can take nice pictures of those uniforms.
All right. Let's move on. Army, Navy, mids are returning almost none of their offense. They are returning four offensive linemen, so there is that. But they had lost three offensive linemen the year before, so they'll have exactly one O-lineman with more than a year of experience. They lose their quarterback. They lose their two fullbacks. They lose their wide receiver. They lose their A-back. They lose their tight end. By the way,
two of those guys actually made NFL rosters.
Well, one of the offensive players makes an NFL roster, yes, right?
They put out on social media that two of them did.
Nose tackle and the fullback, Teska and Robinson.
Okay. Robinson is probably the best player on their team, so that doesn't surprise me.
All-American. So on offense, they lose. I mean, the most effective player returning is their backup quarterback, who wasn't ineffective last year and came in to get, games and won them. So I'm not trying to poo-poo that, but that is their most effective player returning. And on the defense, they've also lost quite a bit. A lot of people are picking them to win the American. I think that's more of a function of who is the program at the top of the league who didn't lose their head coach last year. By process of elimination, there is one. Everyone else lost their coach: Memphis, Tulane, North Texas, South Florida. All those schools who are at the top of the standings are in year one of a head coach now. So it'll be interesting. Army Navy is always a crapshoot, feels like anyway. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Well, we talked about this on Sunday, right? I mean, I'll be really surprised if they could just roll through with the next man up despite all those losses. But if they do happen to pull that off, then Coach Munkin and the Black Knights will need to adapt differently because they'll be doing something right that Army's not doing.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how it goes. Very, very interested.
Mike, did you photograph Army Navy last year?
I did not. This year will probably be my first time.
Oh, nice. Have you been to an Army Navy game?
Never, never.
Get ready. It's going to be fun. We'll see you there.
I watch every year. But you talk about Navy. They're still coming back with their offensive line mostly. And they have a linebacker, Parker, that I think he had close to 100 tackles last season.
Yeah. They got a couple of good linebackers coming back. That's true.
So, if you could win the offensive trenches and have a good defense, Navy's always going to be tough.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Navy's going to be tough even if we have 10 wins and they have two. I'm excited to see you go to your first Army Navy game. That's got to be it's going to be a cool thing.
So it'll be nice and local.
Yes. Speaking of other cool things, Dan, you want to tell us about our friend Craig?
Friend.
I put all this effort in to do a smooth transition. I get a great transition into an ad, and Dan doesn't know how to speak English anymore.
It happens, man. I'm getting old. It's brain worms. Friends, this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane. He is an area sales manager and mortgage broker at The Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. If you listen to this show, then you know that Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal on a mortgage that he possibly can. Guys, the mortgage process is confusing, right? You've got interest rates moving all over the place. You got to sign 3 inches of papers to buy your house. You are trying to get your house appraised. There's all this stuff going on. It's not the time to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you, right? You would like to be able to pick up the phone and make a call to a person who will actually answer that phone call. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we are trying to introduce you to the best, to the man that you need to meet to get a mortgage if you're trying to buy a house. And friends, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. Save yourself like $1,300. $1,300 is a lot of money to save. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. His and Jocelyn's, and for that matter, Greg Iannacelli's business cards are on our website. Just go to astrofootball.com. Like I said, click on the link. You'll be talking to those guys in no time.
All right, let's get to the Bryant Bulldogs. Head coach Chris Merritt returns for his eighth season this year. They finished 3-9 last year. 1-7 in the Coastal Athletic Conference for the OG East Coasters. That's the Colonial Athletic Conference. In their first game, the Bulldogs beat Stonehill 24-6. Stonehill, still in its D1 infancy, moved up from D2 a couple years ago. I'm not sure if they've had a winning season in D1 yet. They're a Northeast Conference team that moved up to replace some of the teams like Bryant that departed for the Coastal. They traded touchdowns in the first half, and Stonehill could only score field goals after that. Bryant finished on a 17-3 run late in the game. Daniel, take through the offense.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't a guarantee of what we're going to see Saturday, but against Stonehill, it was a run first offense. Quarterback Brennan Meyer, who's come back. He was there last year, so this is another year for him in the same system. Last year, he threw for 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, 7 picks in just 5 games. That's getting it done through the air. Completed less than 60% of his passes, though, and he took 10 sacks, which is a lot in just 5 games of work. And then on Saturday, he went 10 of 20 for 108 yards and a sack. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Really, running back O'Shawn Ross was the whole story. 18 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. All told, they ran for 204 and 3 touchdowns. You know, these guys ran the ball to win the game, bottom line. And late, mostly, too.
All right, and on defense, we have, again, not much. We're playing – they played a team last week that attempted to throw the ball a lot. They did beat beat Stonehill with red zone defense, but again, how does that look for a team that's passing versus running? They actually got outgained by the Skyhawks, but ended up winning the game with a red zone defense. Bryant had 5 TFLs, including 2 sacks. They forced a fumble, 2 turnovers on downs, 3 punts and 3 field goals, and the team leader for tackles was Nelson Sparrow with 7.
Worth noting, he's not a linebacker. He's a defensive back. You know, Rob will be screaming at you right now.
Yeah. Again, all that means is that they played a team that likes to pass. So for a team that's going to run a lot, we'll see, but I wouldn't put too much stock in their performance against Stonehill as to how they're going to prepare for Army. It is interesting, right? This is going to be game 2 for them. It'll be game 1 for Army. So some of their kinks will be worked out. Some of Army's kinks may not be. I think the spread is 37.5 last time I checked. I'd love to see that. I'll believe it when I do. But Dan, what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I don't know if I would take the Black Knights to cover. I don't even care if they cover. I was a little worried when I saw the score. I was like, shit, you know, you're playing these guys in their second week and they won pretty handily last week. I feel like I've seen that movie before, but I don't think that they're going to outlast Army through the fourth quarter, because that's basically how they beat Stonehill. And I don't know how much that red zone defense is going to make a difference. Although I guess we'll see. The offense didn't look great last week, but as we're going to talk about a little later, you know, these guys, Army, I mean, has some new young players on defense. So, you know, they might get tested a little bit by that running game. It's not the worst thing that can happen.
All right. Mike, do you have anything to add?
Listen, they can't lose to Bryant this week. I'm sorry. Stonehill has been a Division I team for a few years. Okay. I like Stonehill. I know the guys there, but they're not at Army's level. There's a special weekend for Army. You know, they're opening the stadium. there's no way they could lose to Bryant. Please, I know Bryant beat UMass last year, so any team could win, but Army, you can't lose to Bryant.
All right, let's move.
I don't know if that makes me more or less nervous.
They're going to win. Army will win.
All right.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right, Dan, why don't you kick it off for us?
Fact or fiction, Cael Helms does not lead Army in total carries this weekend.
Fiction. Too many fullbacks. They're going to spread the love too much, I think. And even though I think there will be more total fullback carries, I think that they trust Cael Helms. If they get out to a big lead, they'll leave him in. And if they're taking Cael Helms out of the game, which Army traditionally does much later than they should be, they will also replace the fullbacks. And they're going to be spreading love too much. If it's a close game, which I hope it isn't, then they're going to be leaning on Cael Helms, and they'll feature some backs. But again, they're going to spread the love. Mike, three quality fullbacks.
Mike, fact or fiction?
Fiction.
Okay.
But GP, I think, will get a lot of carries, and, you know, he might be the wild card factor coming out of the Wildcat. So we might see a lot of GP, more than we expect.
Fair enough. I say fact just because I think it's going to be a real point of emphasis. When I've seen the team play recently, you see Cael Helms distributing the football a lot, which, if you watched his game last year, was definitely the thing he needed the most work on in the offseason. And if they didn't get that fixed and we don't see that a change this week, then I'll be surprised and a little disappointed. I understand what you're saying. You know, you got three fullbacks, two slot backs, blah, blah, blah. But I really hope that it's not the Cael Helms show this week. Very much hope that.
I agree. I wouldn't be shocked if game one, knocking the rest off, they just want to
pound the rock.
Yeah, just give it a Cael and let them do it.
All right.
I got one for you. Army scores multiple touchdowns this week in a method other than a rushing touchdown.
Wow. Multiple TDs. So
it could be a pick six.
Pick six.
Could be a scoop and score. Could be a punt return. Could be a throwing touchdown, a receiving touchdown.
You know what? I will take fact. That's probably a stupid one to take fact, but I'll say fact.
Because I think the problem is the line is 1.5. I think if you asked if it was going to be one, you'd absolutely say yes. If you asked if it was going to be two, it's kind of hard to say two, just because how often does that happen?
Yeah, so I agree. Do I think that they're going to throw for a touchdown? Absolutely. I think that they will throw for a touchdown. I mean, as much as they ran the ball with Cael Helms last year, they threw for a lot of touchdowns. So that I totally believe. My hesitancy is whatever that other touchdown has to be. So,
right. Or do they throw for a second?
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet. Mike?
No, maybe a touchdown to the tight end, but if the rest of the touchdowns are going to be rushing touchdowns.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Hopefully they run my direction.
I'll take fact on that one. I think either they're going to throw for two or they'll throw for one and the defense will come up with something.
So you're saying fact?
I'm saying fact.
All right. That's such a foolish one.
It's fun to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is stupid.
Agreed.
All right. Well, you want to read Rob's?
This is Rob's?
Yeah.
Oh. Rob says Army has more than one 70-yard rusher. I hope not. I hope they get them the hell out of the game, but that's not what they do. If you have if you've gotten to the point where Cael Helms is 70 yards and somebody else is approaching 70 yards, it's time to either the defense has had a really bad game or it's time to move on, brother. But that's not what they do. I'm going to say fact.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's true because I think God's power is going to break off a run because he's been breaking off runs quite a bit. I mean, that dude, one of the reasons why I think Coach Munkin looks so much more confident this season heading into this season is because God's power looks legit at A back or at B back. And that is huge. And I think he breaks off a long run. So then I mean, Cale Holmes, 5 carries, 70 yards, you know, 10 carries, 70 yards probably, but I could see that plus one long run.
The question is whether, I mean, if you'd said 100 yards, I probably would have said no.
Yeah. That's pretty rare to have more than one
100 yard rusher.
Pretty rare.
I think it happened a lot in the last few years.
All right.
70s, yeah. In fact, I think there's a, I'll have to pull that up. Okay. Don't look at
70 is 70 is one guy breaking off a long run, you know, 50 plus yards, and another guy having a pretty good game, I think, in my opinion. Mike, you got an opinion on this?
I can see Cal and GP doing it this weekend. Those are my
So you're we're in fact agreement here?
Yes, we are.
I said fiction. Oh no, I said fact. Yeah. I said fact.
Yeah. Rob, tell us if you're fact or fiction on your own fact or fiction here, big guy. Mike, you got a fact or fiction for us? Not to put you on the spot here.
Me? A new question?
Yeah. Do you have one for us?
Yeah.
No?
I wasn't even thinking in that.
All right. So next time.
Okay, I will. I'll be prepared.
All right. So, yeah. So we got fact agreement on 70-yard rushers. And last one?
You want to take the Firsty Club?
Yeah, sure. So Mike Davis from the Firsty Club says, Army scores a touchdown from a player who's not a quarterback or a B-back. I think we already just answered this one, but yeah. So if you think that they're going to have multiple non-rushing TDs, then this one has to come up as a fact.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose two A-backs could score, but I think so.
So. Mike, would you like to change your mind and say that there's a player who's not a B, that like we're going to throw it a God's power or something?
I mean, I could see a tight end like Tex catching a touchdown in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Good deal. So that's fact agreement as well. And now it's my favorite time of the day.
You've got mail.
All right, Frosty asks, how does the new fair catch kick rule affect Army football strategy or college football in general? Dan?
I had to look this one up, man. I didn't even realize that this had happened. The new rule is that if you make a fair catch on a kick, college football allows you to attempt an uncontested field goal from the spot of the fair catch. The defense has to be at least 10 yards away. So I mean, this seems like the most likely way to get a kick six, actually. But so the receiving team attempts the field goal from wherever they catch it. You can either do as a place kick or as a drop kick, but you can't use a kicking tee. If successful, it's worth 3 points. That can affect Army and or anybody. I mean, how's that coming up?
I mean, I think it's been a rule in the NFL for forever. I think the first successful one in like however many, you know, 50 years or whatever was Jim Harbaugh's Chargers last year or 2 years ago.
Was it like a 60-yard kick?
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. I think what it really comes down to in the NFL, it's sort of less likely because, you know, punters can boot it 55 yards.
Yeah.
Right. You know, consistently. In college football, if you get a bad kick and some, you know, a bad punt and it only goes for 30 yards from your own 10 and you get a fair catch, all of a sudden now you're at the 40 yard line kicking an uncontested field goal. It's a 50 yarder, but it's a 50 yarder uncontested. So you don't have to get any vertical, it doesn't really have to get vertical. You can get a true 45 degree angle. Whereas normally field goals are going to be a much higher angle than 45 degrees. You're going to lose some distance to get it above the defensive line. I don't know how much it affects Army specifically. It's been a rule for forever. The point is, though, you're never going to use this in ordinary football. Your expected number of points if you're receiving the ball on your own 40 is greater if you continue the drive than if you attempt a field goal, right? Like,
well, you would do it at like the end of a half or something.
Correct. It's only at the end of the half that it makes sense, right? It's only in positions where the expected return on or point return on the drive is less than 3, which really, when you're receiving the ball at the opponent's 40, it really only happens when you have a time constraint, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you're in the fourth quarter of a 3-3 game or something like that, right? Where it's just, you know, it's 10 minutes to go. It's been 3-3 since the first quarter. Okay. Yeah. Maybe you take that opportunity to take the lead. But But other than that, it's really just an end of the half thing.
I don't think it's coming up. I mean, in the pros, you see these kickers now making 70-yard kicks almost. There's a few kickers in the pros that can make really moonshot kicks, but we haven't seen that in college yet. Maybe it's only a matter of time, but until that hits college, I don't think you're going to see this.
I think you see at higher levels, higher echelons of college football, you do see that.
I mean, they've been kicking. It's almost routine where you'll see pro teams trying from the 50 now, which is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. By the way, it was a 57-yarder when it happened in what year? It was either last year or the year before. It was a 57-yarder.
Right. But 57 isn't even that far. I mean, you've seen – I remember when the record was 62, and I feel like we've seen multiple 67-plus kicks recently.
So one of the reasons that it's easier to kick – for the longest time, like the field goal record in – the NFL in high school was longer than the field goal record in college was longer than the field goal record in the NFL. And one of the reasons for that is that the NFL was very strict about breaking balls in. So you can only break it in that day. Whereas colleges, you could break it in for a week. And in high school, they're using the same balls all season. Now the NFL, I believe, has started to, in the last few years, has started to allow teams to break it in for the week, which is why you're starting to see these longer field goals become more regular. I think it's bad for football when teams can consistently hit 65-yard field goals. It completely, you know.
Yeah, changes the game tremendously.
Right. The goal is basically if you get inside the 30, you're probably going for it on fourth and less than eight, which is cool because all you need to do to get 3 points is make it to the 50-yard line. But that's neither here nor there. I think you'll see more of it in college football just because – there are more games, number one, and it's always going to be a highlight play. And then number two, because the punters are worse. So remember, like if an NFL punter is kicking from his own 20, it's going to end up on a fair catch on the opposite 30, which means it's not just – at that point, it's a 94-yard – what is it? It'd be an 80-yard kick, right? So
– matter of time.
Don't get me wrong. Maybe it'll happen, but – That's pretty far. Whereas in college, if you're kicking from your own 20, there's a decent shot it ends up on the 50-yard line because the punter whiffs and it's only a 30-yard punt. I mean, punts are 30 yards regularly in college football.
Yeah. And so I see your point there.
Gives you the opportunity to take that shot, especially at the end of the half, right? If I got 35 seconds left, you know, maybe that is the best shot.
Yeah. Might have changed the outcome of that Georgia Southern game a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, no, the Georgia Southern game, they were at they ran out of time.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Here's the question. What happens if you miss?
I get the other team takes over.
At the spot that the kick was from.
Yeah. I would assume. I didn't even look that up. I'm sure that's written somewhere, but so there, I would assume
you really have over. To. Like it has. You have to run out of clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would assume that there was no time left in the half.
There's
no other use case for this thing.
Well, I suppose if there's 10 seconds left, right, even if you're not going to run out of clock, you're better off taking an uncontested 50-yard field goal than trying to get whatever you can out of 10 seconds and kicking a contested field goal.
It depends on if you got any timeouts.
And it's a real situation, what the score is of the game. It's,
It's
got to be down by. Do you need a field goal? Do you need a Hail Mary?
Well, right. I mean, at the end of the game, if it's going to be a kick, at what point would you rather a contested kick? How many yards do you need to get? So anyway, that's interesting. We'll see how it plays out this year. Dave Doyle asks, do we see more than one Army quarterback outside of an injury replacement? I hope so this week. I mean, I hope we're up by enough that we get to see another quarterback.
Hey, listen, they got to work on getting Bryson Luter in there. Luter has all the tools. But dude has to get some game reps. I don't think that's a secret.
What is his weight?
I don't know what his weight is. You will have to look that up. While you're looking that up,
203.
What is it?
203.
Yeah. Well, that was when they weighed. I mean, he's probably 210 now.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't redo the weights. They weigh those guys before camp at the start of summer, and then they just leave it on the website. So. He's probably bigger.
Well, that just means that when Bryson Daly was 231, he was actually 240.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's not wrong. all right, last question. Mike Davis asks, do we know who is projected to be the linebacker starters? He actually asked about cornerback starters too, but I don't think those are, I hesitate to say not interesting, but I don't think those are a surprise. I was surprised to find out that you've got a Cal starting inside linebacker and Elijah Walton. I don't think that's a surprise that Walton is starting, but beside him is yearling Jaquavius Moss that we haven't seen play. He must be electric. And on the edge, you've got firstie Noah Nixon, and at the nickel is yearling Zane Tallman. Tallman's name is familiar, but I certainly can't remember seeing him play. So it's a pretty young group there for your starting four linebackers. Now, something to keep an eye on.
We'll just say around that is a senior, junior front three in Stowers, yeah. Harris Miller, and Bosom.
Sure.
And then your secondary is senior, junior, senior, right? And,
yeah.
And Big Mays, yeah. Caleb Williams, Ndozi, and Hammond. So there's one part, but if, I mean, let me tell you, it's really easy to be an inside linebacker if you have a phenomenal front three. It makes your job quite a bit easier.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. We still have Dawson Jones as the kicker for this year and James Wagensohn as the punter. So no change from last season there. And then Dan, our last commercial.
I will do our last commercial. Friends, there is a reason why you don't need another workout. You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, who built himself up after a total physical and mental collapse and then pulled himself out of the fire stronger and better than ever. Greg Iannaselli is a West Point graduate from the class of 1997, U.S. Army veteran, successful enterprise software sales executive, IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now the founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, and his physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At 50, he became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the Masters Nationals in Las Vegas. He won the national championship, guys, earned his IFBB pro card, proof that it's never too late to become the warrior you were meant to be. Today, Greg's mission is to coach men who are struggling to stop drifting in decline and resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you're ready to reclaim your strength, confidence, and warrior ethos identity, apply now at warriorsphysiquefitness.com and start writing your comeback story. Military vets and first responders get a 15% discount. AFF Firstie Club members and West Point grads get a massive 30% discount off that same 16-week fee. Like all of our sponsors, Craig has a Craig's a different guy, also a sponsor. Greg has a business card up on our website. Click on it, and you'll be talking to him in a day or two about getting yourself back into your prime.
All right. Quiz question for you. We talked about it earlier.
Okay.
One game last year where Army had multiple 100-yard rushers.
The one game. Bowl game?
Nope. Started arresting people in the bowl game.
Okay. Sure.
I'll give you a hint. I'll tell you who the people are.
Okay.
Who the rushers were, and okay. might give it away.
Okay.
It was Dwayne Coleman.
Oh, I know already.
And Hayden Reed.
North Texas.
Yeah.
And they lost that game.
There was one where one player had 99. I'm sorry. That same game, Briggs Bartosz had 99. So it was almost 300-yard rushers in that game.
Well, they rushed for damn near 500 yards and still lost. So it tells you everything you need to know about how that day went.
I remember that day well. I was in the car on a road trip. Anyway, do you have a favorite thing now that we're depressed?
Well, yeah. So now that we have flushed you down the toilet, friends, I just want to give a shout out to our patrons who support us and to tell you that if you enjoy Ask for Football, there is more. We're on Patreon. That's how you join us live and drop in these hints that Ray and Rob have been giving us tonight with the chats. Chat with us in the Firstie Club. We have game day chats. That's the best place to talk Army football with other fans who are seriously passionate about it, just like you are. And, you know, it's on Discord. Like, we just flush it after it's over. We're not publishing your chats. Nobody cares what you say. It's not to say that we aren't polite to each other. I would argue that we're more polite to each other. But just as a matter of reality, like, Big Brother is not watching the chat, friends. It's private. So it's a good place to hang out, and we could use your support because this is not free.
All right. Well, beat the Bulldogs.
Beat them.
Like and subscribe for more Army football analysis. Shop our store today. Go Army. Beat Navy.
That'll do it for this edition of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to everyone riding with us each week as we break down the Black Knights, the season, and everything that makes Army football special. Before we get out of here, a huge thank you to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, relocating, or just trying to figure out your next move, Jocelyn Bradley is ready to help. Listening.